Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. It has been announced by Buckingham Palace that from this spring, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle will step back from their official duties and the couple will no longer receive public funding. Sophie Ridge asked the Conservative Party chairman, James Cleverly, for his reaction to this news.
It's really interesting because, of course, you know, Harry didn't choose the life that he was born into. And we could see that he was clearly very happy being a soldier. And I think sometimes less happy, as I say, with that very intense public scrutiny.
And, so you've got sympathy for...
Yeah, and I do think, ultimately, you know, family is really important. And his, you know, his wife and his child are really important to him. And I think if they're finding a way that that works for them and the Queen is happy, then I think we should be happy.
I mean, we've spoken a bit there about the media scrutiny and the intensity of that. I mean, some have said that Meghan's been the victim of racism. Is that something that you recognise?
I think this country is one of the least racist, one of the most open and welcoming countries in the world. And that's reinforced by things like the British Attitude Survey and a whole load of international surveys about people's acceptance of other races. She was subjected to a huge amount of media interest, and that can be really difficult to deal with. And if they choose a life that means they don't have to deal with that, I think we should respect that. Mm-hmm.
Cleverly went on to outline the government's latest plans to crack down on stalking.
What exactly is it that you're trying to do?
Well, what we know is a huge number of people have to endure stalking, a much larger percentage than I think most people would realise. And it's something that no one should have to deal with. We want to give more powers to the police and the courts, and stalking protection orders is the vehicle that we are bringing forward. So from tomorrow, what the courts will be able to do is apply a stalking protection order, which will limit what someone can do in terms of the, how they approach or proximity and all that kind of stuff. And if they're breached, the courts and the police can take action, and that will protect people. And there have been occasions where people's lives have been taken by stalkers, and we want to protect people from that.
Ridge also questioned Cleverly about a rumour that the government was planning to move the House of Lords to York.
Another policy that's in the newspapers today in the Sunday Times is this notion that the House of Lords is going to be moved, uprooted from Westminster and moved to either York or potentially Birmingham. Is that right?
Well, what we are looking at is a whole range of options about making sure that every part of the UK feels properly connected from politics. When the Prime Minister stood up the day after the general election and said this is going to be the people's government, he meant it. And that meant connecting people with government and with politics. Because the referendum in 2016 wasn't just about our relationship with the EU. It was about millions of people and their relationship with politics as a whole. And so we're looking at a whole range of ways of connecting people in the kind of places where we won representation for the first time in decades.
So is it going to happen then? I mean, could we see the House of Lords being in a different place by the
we
next
might.
Election?
We might. It's one of a range of things that we are looking into. But fundamentally, what this is about is it's about demonstrating to people that we are going to do things differently. The Labour Party lost millions of voters because they failed to listen and to address their concerns.
Why don't you just get on and do it? I mean, you've got the kind of majority where you can be radical. Just do it.
Oh, trust me, we're going to be radical. We are going to get stuff done. The Prime Minister is absolutely clear, and this is very much the focus of the government. It's about delivering, and it's about delivering for the people of this country. North, south, east, west, you know, England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, we are absolutely in delivery mode.
Ridge next spoke to Jess Phillips, who is running for the Labour leadership. She asked Phillips if it would be embarrassing if the party went on to elect the only man in the race.
The Labour Party, it has a blind spot in this regard. It always has. And it's genuinely frustrating because the Labour Party is absolutely... If you set the test as being how it has improved the lives of women in the country, how it has fought for women's representation, how it fights for women in politics at almost every level, except that one. And so I think it does a disservice to the Labour Party's record on women, but I think it would look bad if I was honest.
Yeah. In April, when we met last year, you told me it would be a massive embarrassment if the Labour Party once again fails to have a woman leader.
Well, I mean, I think that I pretty much, especially when there's one man in the race and four women.
So you think it would be a bit embarrassing?
Yeah, I think it will be embarrassing. And what's more, it gives absolute grist to the mill and ammunition to our other side. I've had, you know, Tory members of Parliament, like, laughing at us after the last time, especially when Theresa May, because they had an all-women shortlist, didn't they? Because it was Theresa May and Andrea Leadsom. You know, it's not great if we can't ever seem to think that the women are good enough. It's always some... when you're a woman in politics, you're always the next time. Oh, it'll be your turn next time. You're always told we have to pick the best person for the job, as if that best person... They never mean the best person. They often mean the best man. And that is disappointing.
Do you think men need to step aside sometimes?
I think that if you truly believe in women's representation, sometimes, and that goes not just for just women, in the way that intersects in other areas, that sometimes passing the mic is the greatest way to show that you truly believe in something. But I think it's a very, very difficult argument to say you should stand back if you truly believe you're the best person for the job.
Phillips also expressed her dissatisfaction at the way her complaints had been handled under the outgoing leadership.
My criticism of Jeremy Corbyn has been widely reported. I think that there should have been instituted in the party a long way into his leadership, much more listening approach where all the voices in the party, in the parliamentary Labour Party, in the party membership, were heard a bit more and weren't just considered as, you know, dissent in bad faith and disloyalty. When we were speaking up about things that we didn't like, we were doing it because we could see that there were problems coming, whether that was on the Brexit position, from the membership's point of view, or from the position of how we were handling foreign affairs, from the Parliamentary Labour Party's issue. I think that a good leader needs to recognise dissent and be able to listen to it.
Andrew Marr spoke to Ian Murray, Labour's only remaining Scottish MP, about whether the Scottish arm of the party needed to break away to win back its former heartlands.
Do you think when it comes to the party there should be a federal split? In other words, an independent or semi-independent Scottish Labour Party, a sister party of the Labour Party in England, but not the same party?
Well, absolutely no. I think we're a UK party and I think we have to act as a UK party. But what I would do is make sure that the parties have all the autonomy they require. The Scottish Labour Party actually has more autonomy than any other part of the UK Labour Party, but it isn't used. Let's use that autonomy, and that takes away any issues around becoming a separate party. But the regional offices in England and the Welsh Assembly General Secretaries and the Scottish General Secretary need the powers and the ability to make those decisions locally, because never again should we go into a general election where it's run by London and others around the country are screaming out for resources and targeting where they're requiring it. We shouldn't be having seats lost by several hundred when there's thousands of activists and seats that we'll never win.
And finally, the leader of the Train Drivers Union, ASLEF, Mick Whelan, has taken particular issue with one of the government's proposed laws. The potential law would ban strike action unless a minimum level of service could be guaranteed.
So are you at war with the government?
I'm at war with the ethos of forced labour, any form of indenture or slavery. We sign up to...
And is that what you think the government is trying to push, then?
Well, I think that's what we're trying to do. I think the reality of us is that it's not a well-known fact that only Lithuania has worse labour laws than we do. This cradle of democracy, this place of Magna Carta, right? We, under Maggie's laws, under the trade union bill, we virtually hurt the right of people to strike. We also then, on the Lobbying Transparency Bill, took away their voice, and now you want to take the actual opportunity to strike against bad employers away.
Slavery is a strong word, though.
Incredibly strong word, and that's because the strength of feeling. And, you know, when I talk to people, not just in my industry but elsewhere, that is the feeling of how it is.
Because of this change to ensure a minimum service on the railways if there's strikes?
Yes.
You think that's a form of slavery?
I think it's a form of forced labour. I think if you remove the... We have no right to strike in the UK now. We only have a right not to be sued if we jump through the multitude of hoops that are put in place. And, you know, when you look at certain European countries in the mid-30s, you know, the stranglehold on the voice of civil society, the right to strike, the ability of trade unions, whatever, created a world in which we don't want to be. I want to be very, very careful where we go as a society, right? What do we want? And also putting in a process something that will just lead to poor industrial relations in my industry for the next 20 years by anybody who signs up to this probably isn't going to deliver the intention what it's meant to do.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store, and we also have a special offer. You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks in print and online for just £12, and you'll receive a free £20 gift card to spend at Amazon. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.